This episode of the Beauty Industry Podcast was brought to you by Digital Bloom, helping hair, beauty, and fashion brands thrive online. Hello and welcome to the Beauty Industry Podcast, your online support community for the professional beauty industry. I am your host, founding director of Beauty Industry, Tamara Shaw. Here, we are closing the competitive gap and speaking your language. This is a platform created and dedicated to the professional beauty industry, valuing community over competition. We serve to help connect you with inspiration from industry experts, expand your knowledge through educational pieces, and bring you the latest in product and technology innovation. This is Beauty Industry. My guest today is Mukti, founder and formulator of the self-titled brand Mukti Organics. Mukti has been actively involved in the beauty and personal care industry for over two decades now and spends time on today's episode reflecting and sharing her career with us. Studying naturopathy, remedial massage, and beauty therapy, Mukti is an eco-activist, author, and green cosmetic chemistry pioneer. As if that isn't enough, Mukti Organics is an international award-winning range which has helped set the benchmark for certified organic skincare here in Australia. The conversation today travels through the industry landscape, how Mukti was ahead of the organic beauty trend, and also visits how and why therapists can treat aging and sensitized skins with plant-based botanical ingredients. As we recorded this episode, their new product launch, which is an internal support powder, the Bioactive Collagen Booster, of which we were lucky enough to get to talk about today. From Mukti Organics, today we welcome the founder and formulator, Mukti.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thank you so much for featuring. We start the podcast every week by asking our guests how and when they entered into the beauty industry, and I would love to do the same for you. How did your career begin?
Yes, so my husband, my former husband, and I had a hairdressing salon, and I was actually studying naturopathy at the time, and adjunct to the hairdressing salon, I started to do body treatments, facial massages, and remedial therapy. And then I realized that we could probably offer additional services and offer facials. So then I went and studied beauty therapy as well. So that fitted in with the hairdressing and the remedial therapies. So it was sort of like a one-stop shop.
Amazing. Was it when you were in high school or when you were studying in those earlier years that massage therapy always just called out to you, or how did you travel down that pathway?
No, well, I was actually studying naturopathy, and I thought if I do the massage component first and learn about which was the foundation module, so you do anatomy and physiology, and they were all the foundation modules for naturopathy. So I figured if I did that, then I could support myself and pay for my tuition and massage people and be a begin as a remedial therapist. So that's pretty much how I started in the natural therapies and complementary medicine field.
Incredible. And through that naturopathy, I'm guessing that you learn a little bit about the skin and the cell biology. Is that where the love for beauty therapy came in?
When I was studying, yes. What interested me the most was the herbal component and aromatherapy. But, and obviously, you know, you had the background, as I said before, with the anatomy and physiology, plus beauty therapy as well. So it all just came in together as a holistic adjunct to the business. So, yeah, it's something that I was always passionate about. My mother was also a model, so she was always aware of her appearance and how she looked. And so I remember she was a role model for me when I was growing up, to be aware of my appearance and taking care of my skin and what I ate. And so I believe that impetus probably fed through from her to a large extent as well.
Incredible. And I listened to another podcast with you, and I've done a little bit of research, and I read that early in the industry landscape that you discovered that home care was quite a large driver of the results that happened in a treatment. And I guess in the industry nowadays, we know that we must retail to gain those treatments. But you came to that realization quite early on in the industry, before people were looking at targets and budgets and, you know, average dollar per client and things like that. How did that come about?
It wasn't really so much I wasn't driven by the financial aspect of it. What I recognised was that there was a white space or a niche in the industry in Australia. So we're talking late 90s at this stage. So there wasn't an organic certification at that point for cosmetics, and there weren't, as cliched as this sounds now, and I don't feel like you can actually say this anymore, and for it to be authentic, but there really wasn't a great deal in the marketplace in the natural and especially in the organic sector, because it was very much in its infancy.
Mm.
When I did have an epiphany one day when I had a client. This was a few years later. By this stage, I'd moved to Mullaney, where the business now is. And I was doing facials in a guest lodge up there, where we'd get stressed out teachers and nurses that would come on a Monday and Tuesday, and they'd have a massage and a facial. And it was part of a package that they would have a facial and massage and stay overnight and have a nice meal together. And they came in groups. And I realized one day when I was doing a facial, and I would often get asked, what are you using? And I had a mixture of different products. So I had a cleanser from someone and I had a moisturizer from someone else. And in that moment, when one day when someone asked me, probably for the 20th time, I just thought, this is crazy. Why don't I, with my background and understanding of the skin and also some product knowledge as far as the raw materials are concerned, why don't I create my own product range? And then I can really have control over what goes in it. And that was pretty much how it started, very much as a basic formulation with a cleanser, toner, moisturizer back in those days. So it was challenging because there was really no one to turn to assist with the formulating side of it. Traditional chemists would poo-hoo the idea that you could actually create a natural product that would work.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, we've way surpassed that, I believe, with the development of green chemistry and the clean green beauty movement. There's a demand now for manufacturers to create these amazing raw materials and ingredients, and also plants in their purest form as well. So that was pretty much how it started.
Yeah, amazing. I know what you're talking about when people are saying poo-hoo the kind of natural and organic, because one of my first jobs was in a spa about 13 years ago now. And I used to, family that I worked in a spa, and people would think that I was talking about I was working in like spas that had jets, and they're going, but how are you a salesperson? Like,
yeah,
are you selling the spas? What are you doing? And I'm going, no, it's beauty and it's massage and it's body scrubs and wraps. And I guess before the Instagram and the taking a photo of your activewear and your green smoothie, it was a little bit poo-hooed, wasn't it?
Well, people didn't even know what a spa was back in those days either. So, you know, that whole treatment protocol was very much in its infancy. And I think just in formulating too, there wasn't a lot to choose from as a formulator. Mm. So you really were limited with things like emulsifiers and preservatives and surfactants as far as the inputs that fit my own personal criteria of what I was prepared to use. So it was definitely challenging, and there wasn't anyone to turn to for advice.
Mm. And I'm wondering then, you're treating these clients and you're hearing, you know, them asking questions about the products. And so you make the decision and you think, right, perhaps I can do this for myself. What did that decision look like for you? Did you have to learn anything extra, or, you know, I'm like, you know, I can't just wake up tomorrow and go, I want my own brand. Like, how did you actually travel down that pathway?
It was very different to what it is now, as far as what's available and what's at your fingertips. I mean, we're talking about computers only just coming into play as well. So there wasn't any online research that could be done. So it was finding books. And I met this woman who had created a skincare range in the States, and she had just a few basic products and creams. So she mentored me and helped me, and I found a lot of books. I would search far and wide, and I'd go to the old bookshops and find all the, you know, basic recipes. I mean, they were very much they were pretty Bobby basic back then, you know. Things like beeswax, which I used, and borax as a preservation, and so I just pretty much started with grandma, what I call, in without being disrespectful, but sort of grandma Bobby basic formulations. And in those early iterations, now that I look back, some of them are quite crude, and they didn't have the same efficacy or the same ingredients that I now put in some of my products as far as cosmeceuticals are concerned. So, you know, we've got the base range of products, and then I layer those with different products and ingredients. So in saying that, I'm not anti-synthetics as such. I think that there's such things as safe synthetics that we take as ingestibles as well as what we can apply topically. So I'm not like an anti-chemicals or person in that regard, because I think there's some very valuable ingredients like peptides and vitamins that the skin requires and can utilize. But I think it's also very important to have your own personal criteria, as well as a formulator, to have your own criteria as to what inputs you're prepared to work with and what you're not prepared to work with. So we have our certified organic products, and then I have my, what I call my active beauty range, which has got all those cosmeceuticals that will have those effects on the skin and make those changes to the skin.
Amazing. And so Mukti is your name and the name of the brand. What does that name mean? And I guess I didn't prep you on this question, but I'm wondering where your thought process was around naming your brand your name.
Yes, not something I'd recommend. I think it was when I still had a healthy and robust ego back then. So I hadn't been through the life lessons that I've since been through. I think it's, in some ways, if I went back, I don't know whether I would have called the brand after my name. So my name is a spiritual name. It means, it comes from Sanskrit, which is one of the oldest Indo-European languages. And it dates back to, I think it's even pre-Latin. And the name means freedom and liberation in Sanskrit, and in Hindu it means rebirth. So in saying that, the Hindu meaning of it, the rebirth meaning, the brand has been through lots of rebirths, and rebirthing is rather exhausting. So I think the importance of the name is you've got to think of it on all different levels. But the spiritual aspect is about freeing oneself and liberating oneself from false knowledge and information. So on that level, the name is very fitting, because I've always been a person who's questioned everything and not ever just taken no as a simple answer. I've always delved in deep and inquired as a deep level of inquiry. The name itself came to me in a meditation and in a yoga in a yoga class. This was a long, long time ago when I was transitioning out of my only marriage. And it was very pertinent and fitting at the time. And it felt right. So the brand was initially called Mukti Botanicals, and now it's called Mukti Organics in its iteration at the moment. So it was launched in 2000. So I'm now into my 20th year of being in the skincare industry.
Congratulations.
So, yeah, it's quite amazing. I can't quite fathom that much time has actually gone past. And, yes, you look back and it's quite amazing. But it's definitely been a wonderful journey. I've had setbacks in that time as well. And I think, but I'm grateful that I didn't have any startup capital. I'm grateful that I really have bootstrapped all the way, because it's taught me some very valuable lessons. And in that time too, I almost lost the business two or three times. So I think that, as I said before, with that crucifixion of the ego, once you become a more humble person, you become a better business person as well. You become a better listener and hopefully a better leader, because that's another side of business that's not often thought about when you do start a startup or a business. You do have to take into account that at one stage you are going to be the person in charge of people underneath you, and you are going to be a leader by default. So that's a huge part of the business that I wasn't quite prepared for, and having staff and being answerable to so many people on that level.
Sometimes I guess it's the naivety of starting of starting business. If somebody, or if you knew what you know now, I guess most people wouldn't have started, because they go into business thinking, you know, they know that it's going to be difficult, or know that it's not going to be the easiest thing, but to the degree or to the minority in the detail of how difficult, it's quite eye-opening when you get there and you're faced in front of it.
It's definitely, it takes a lot of tenacity and a lot of dedication, I think, and it's not always an easy path. I feel like I've always been unemployable. I don't feel like I could, in the sense that I don't feel like I could ever be work for anyone. And I never really have. I've always worked for myself since I sort of left school and created my own income. So I think you've got to have that real drive and passion and be prepared to do the hard yards, do those long, long days to start with, to get it off the ground before you can start employing people. And I think now in this current landscape, with so many startups and so many people now being, you know, cosmetic formulators as such, without sounding too cynical and without blowing the wind out of people's sails, I think it's very, very important to really drill down and have a good plan in place and differentiate yourself and find out what your niche is, because that's where that's something that has to be worked out, because it's a very saturated industry. And unless you've got amazing deep pockets or you're a marketeer, it really depends on your intention. If your intention is just to build it slowly and gradually, then that's probably, you know, I think it's good to not have unrealistic expectations, because there are a few success stories, but as difficult as it may seem, you know, I think of Frank as an overnight success in some ways, and I also think of Sand and Sky as overnight successes. But in saying that, it looks like that from the outside, but then, you know, you've also got to consider the longevity of these sorts of brands. Are they based on marketing? Are they based on going straight to sort of building them up to acquisition? You've really got to have a clear definition and understanding and plan about what your intention is, and what you want out of it on a personal level. So I think the joys of having your own business is the freedom that you get from that, and being able to, for me, I'm quite a creative person, so I've enjoyed that freedom of being able to formulate and create. But as I said before, with that comes all the other responsibilities of employing people and being a leader as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there. I want to come back to looking at the industry 20 years ago when Mukti first came on the scene. Organic certification wasn't really a thing back then. It hadn't been governed until, you know, approximately 2 years later. There were natural products, but still it was a little bit woo-woo. Did you realise that you were ahead of your time and that it may be a struggle to actually launch this into the industry?
Not really, because I didn't think of it at that stage. I wasn't really looking at the beauty industry as such. I was just looking at going direct to the consumer. And the way I did it back then was started at the Umundi markets in Queensland. They were quite popular markets and a destination where people would go, and they were very arts and craft based. And so I started there, and I had the insight to begin to collect people's addresses and email addresses. So I did marketing newsletters, and then I started, as I said, I started to collect a database back then. So that's what helped me. And then my focus was more on health food and getting it into those sorts of places where people were already aware that they wanted to eat healthy foods, or they wanted to buy organic fruits and vegetables. So I niched it more into that area rather than the beauty industry as such. And now, coming full circle, my focus is more on professional and spa, on the basis of the importance of educating and understanding the skin. And I don't think that being in a department store, or being in a shop that has lots of other skincare lines, I'm just avoiding mentioning any names.
Yes.
But I just think as a consumer, you can get quite lost in there. You can Absolutely. Get caught up in the marketing side of things. But as far as understanding what your skin actually requires and needs, and whether there's someone there in a professional capacity that can consult you correctly, I think it's limiting, because that much training that's involved in those sorts of areas is quite in depth. So I'm really about supporting the beauty professional, and really encouraging people to go and have treatments and facials, and to get their skin properly analysed and to be consulted. I think it's too much. I think people are putting themselves and subjecting their skin to a lot of abuse these days. They want instant results and fast results, and everything's immediate and now. But I think we have to look at the approach as more of a holistic approach. So we need to look at diet and lifestyle. I mean, stress is a huge factor in how your skin looks and how your skin reacts. You know, we have to look at all aspects of it. And I think it's good to have a skin professional there who can hold your hand and guide you through that process. Hence why I've now focused on putting our energy into spas and salons and professional consultants, as opposed to being in department stores as such.
Yeah, and good on you, because it is probably the harder of the two pathways to go down, because obviously the marketing is limited. When you are in the big department stores or the strip malls, you're in every client space all of the time. And I think, you know, being in the professional beauty industry and targeting that way, you've got a smaller demographic. But I like to believe that it is a more trusted and loyal demographic, because you are getting the education that comes with the product, not just a salesperson who is simply selling you the product, but you're actually getting, exactly as you said, the stress, the you know, every other impact that is going to really have an effect on the skin. So our audience will be very happy to listen to that, and to hear that you're supporting the industry, which is what we all want.
I think another key point, and a word that you used just then too, is education. You know, we can educate when we go direct to consumer, and also through when you're consulting with someone professionally who understands and knows the skin and can properly analyze and diagnose what your skin needs. Because I'm noticing too, more and more people have sensitivities, and more and more people have I think rosacea is definitely on the rise at the moment too, which is a lot of different contributing factors. And I also get very concerned about these young girls with acne who are using really harsh, in my opinion, harsh ingredients on their skin that is creating a lot of dermal impairment. And that takes a long time to build the skin up after you've had an experience where you've really destroyed, you know, those dermal layers, and you've created some problems with your barrier, and you've got impairment there. And I think that has to be treated professionally. There's no other way around it, and it has to be done gently, and it has to be, again, a holistic approach.
After the break, Mukti explores treating aging and sensitivity with botanical ingredients and also reveals the qualification of a Mukti brand partner. But first, a word from today's sponsor. We all know just how important social media is, and nobody knows that better than Digital Bloom. If you're scratching your head for beautiful and engaging Instagram content, then Digital Bloom has you covered. It's as simple as investing in some kick-ass social graphics that will align with your brand style and budget. Say goodbye to that branding headache with $20 off your first order by heading to www.digitalbloom.me, that's .me, and entering in the code BEAUTE20, BEAUTE20 at the checkout. Looking on point in the digital space never felt so good. And now, back to the episode.
Something I hear quite frequently from therapists, and I guess a lot of beauty brands do, a lot of professional beauty salons do have two ranges, or nowadays even more, and they're seeing the both of the ranges on the shelf, and generally one is more natural or even organic, and the other one is more active, and I'll be in there consulting and doing a little bit of mentoring and saying to the therapist, okay, so what product do you think for this type of skin are you going to be recommending to your client? And the question that I get asked a lot is, well, why would I recommend a natural or an organic ingredient when I know that this has a lot of science behind it? And so I'm wondering if you can explore that for us in your kind of ethos in how native extracts and your bioactive plant peptides actually work within the skin. Not to say that one's better than another, but just to give maybe our audience a little bit of that further knowledge.
Yes. So what I did there was I also recognized a niche too, where I wanted to create a certified organic base that was really clean, that didn't have some of the penetration enhancers that may be questionable. And I used different delivery systems, so we might microencapsulate. So I still use, we've now got a Vital A, B and C serum. So I'm using those, but I put them into an organic base with specific delivery systems as well. And then I'll do, I think hyaluronic, we use a vegan form of hyaluronic, which is laboratory synthesized as well, and then of course all our peptides are laboratory synthesized, and then we have the addition of the native extracts. So each one of those products also has a specific range of native extracts, and the way that they're extracted from the plant is a form of cellular extraction. So it means that it maintains the delicate cellular balance of the closed system. So it creates an equilibrium between the plant cell and the liquid medium into which it's extracted into. So the phytoactive compounds remain very active, and it doesn't stress or degrade the plant's biomatrix. So it means then that we get the full plant profile and spectrum of the phytocompounds as they exist in nature. And they are very stable and active for long periods of time. So this form of microencapsulation, cellular extraction, CO2 supercritical extraction, all of these raw materials that we choose are, a lot of them have got evidence-based science behind them, as well as efficacy. And I can see that as well from the results that we get from our consumers that use the product, from the clients. You can see that from the before and after images that we get submitted, and also the testimonials. And honestly, sometimes I still get completely blown away by how effective the synergy of these ingredients are. In saying that, working out how to formulate these has taken me 20 years. It's been 20 years of and these products going through many iterations. So to say that, I just think it's I don't believe that you can now say that natural and it's not about natural and synthetic. It's about putting together the best possible available ingredients that are considered to be safe and that have efficacy and will deliver the results. I will not put anything in a product that doesn't actually have a purpose or a function, and it has to have a reason to be in there. And I won't make products that don't deliver on what they promise. And so I feel like that with the industry as well. It's just the development of those products is and the IP of those products is mm-hmm. is in the methodology of how to put all those ingredients together. And that hasn't been something that I've been able to find. I think now there's probably some good cosmetic chemists out there that are more open to that. And I feel like if anyone is looking at starting their own range or brand, that they would probably be able to find, they'd probably have to look and search far and wide to find a formulator that will work with them. But I think that there's a lot more openness now and a lot greater understanding. And there's some, as I said, there's some amazing technology out there. I mean, I'm interested in plants as far as what they can do. There's some amazing companies out there now that are looking at plant technology in different ways and different delivery systems. So I don't think you can have that argument anymore.
Yeah, I so completely agree with that. And what I love about Mukti is that, well, yourself and the brand, is that you've got the before and after photos, because I think a lot of brands don't have that. And when, if I was to stock a product or a brand within my beauty space, I would be asking straight away, can I see any before and after photos? You know, I think we can talk about as many ingredients and, you know, whatever the hero of the range is. But if you have a result, then that is the perfect range for any client, I so believe.
Yes, so the results speak for themselves. Mm. The other thing I was going to talk about before was plant stem cells and incorporating those into products as well. So I'm looking very closely at that. I'm always looking at what's the latest, greatest, best thing. And in saying that too, some of these, like my Age Defiance range, which was launched in 2014, that's now been through various iterations as well, but it's definitely one of our best-selling ranges. So you've got an Age Defiance Day, Eye and Night, and that's got your certified organic base. Then it's got your active peptides and your active vitamins in there. So it really depends on the formulation. I think you've got to have an understanding as a therapist too of how formulations are put together and how they work and the delivery mechanisms that are involved as well with the product, and that's where the education side of it comes in as well.
Mm. And I guess just to ask more questions, you know, I've been an educator in the past myself, and I have said things that a brand has told me and I've gone ahead to teach that class. And I guess people just take that information like it is gold, and yes, education is gold, but to really question and ask, well, where does that come from, or how does that work within the cell? Before you were talking about your hyaluronic acid and you know that it's vegan, and I guess a lot of therapists just don't question the integrity of the ingredient, and we know that sometimes it does come from the comb of a rooster, for example. And if we're not asking those questions, then we'll never be able to know. And I guess we don't want to look silly in front of the client who has done that research, and they do know, and then they come and ask us, and we stand there and go, let me just ask my manager.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And, you know, in choosing the ingredients too, and this was one of the things when I wrote my book last year, Truth and Beauty. So I spent about 3 years researching that and then going through all the different ingredients and the ones that were questioned and the ones that were considered to have some potential questionable ingredients. I think that it's important to further educate yourself on those as well. You know, what are the long-term effects of these ingredients? I mean, a lot of them haven't been studied epidemiologically. So we are part of an experiment in some ways too. And I think what I'm about is harm minimization and minimization from certain ingredients that may be toxic to the human organism. So I think as someone who's in that position where you are looking after someone and you are considered to be a professional, it's so important to continue to educate yourself and to get as much information as possible, and not always, you know, trust the person who's actually selling you the product either. Ask those questions, drill down, again, that comes back to the word mukti, you know, don't just accept everything at face value.
Yeah, I love that. Mm. And so speaking about ingredients and education, something that I guess a lot of our clients tell us is that they can't use anything that's natural or anything that's, you know, has science backed behind it because their skin is so reactive and responsive because of, you know, inflammation and pollution and everything that we are doing to ourselves in our lives now. And so therapists sometimes also listen to that story and believe it as well and say that too and reiterate that same conversation. I'm wondering what your advice would be to a therapist who is treating a client who is sensitized and they are perhaps reactive to everything with plant-based formulas.
Yeah, so I think there's certain things that you can avoid using. I always say if someone's skin's quite reactive and sensitized is just to introduce one or two products at a time. Start with your basics, just a very gentle cleanser that has a low or adjusted pH, and then stick with very gentle oils that are non-comedogenic. We have a couple of products that we're just about to launch that are essential oil free as well. It's called our a calming collection. I'm just starting with a cleanser and a moisturizer specifically for those clients who do have that reactive skin. Mm. I'm noticing now too when I go in to do the trainings in a lot of clinics and spas is that clients are reacting a lot to cleansers in particular. So, you know, you've got to look at the preservative system of what's in those cleansers too. A lot of cleansers can be sensitizing and irritating. So I think it's important just to go back to basics. And essential oils, again, they need to be used with utmost respect and care in realizing that they are very potent and they can irritate certain skin types. And some of them have also got constituents or allergens in them. Another big thing that I feel is a red flag is all the fragrances and perfumes that are put into products. I don't feel like a lot of them are necessary. They're only put in there from a marketing perspective or a consumer perspective where they have to smell nice. But I think it's important to know that a lot of those fragrances are also irritants and sensitizers as well.
Yeah, absolutely right. I didn't realize how much fragrance was in everything until I watched the movie Stink. Have you watched that?
Oh yes.
My goodness, that was such an eye-opener.
Yeah, I've got a whole chapter on that in my book where I drill down on fragrance. And I think, I mean, if big multinationals like Procter & Gamble and Unilever are now starting to they're actually putting their constituents or they're changing some of their formulations in their household cleaning products and their some of their personal care ranges. And big companies like that wouldn't be taking that initiative unless they had identified that there was a problem. We've also got to be really careful too about certain ingredients that bioaccumulate in the environment and what that's doing to aquatic life, because when we wash things down the drain, it's not just disappearing, and some of those ingredients do bioaccumulate. So I feel like to my consumer or the type of person that's attracted to the range, they're really asking those questions. They're drilling down on even the packaging, like, can I return my bottles to you for recycling? So we've started that initiative now where we're collecting and recycling the packaging as well, which we're able to do because it's glass. But, of course, it has to go then through a sterilisation process and then we have to absorb the cost of bringing those empty vessels back and then cleaning them and sterilising them, et cetera. But I'm prepared to do that because I wanted to minimise the imprint that we have, and the consumer now wants to minimise their imprint, and that's sort of our target market that we're looking at as well. You know, more and more people are moving away from plastic and using cling wrap, and they're just drilling down on how they can minimize their impact on the planet too, because we've got to realize that everything is finite. You know, we're living in a time now where everyone needs to take responsibility for their environmental footprint, on every level, and to think about those ingredients, you know, pick up the labels, read the ingredients. What is that? Does it have a function? Does it have a purpose? Why is it in there? I, for example, don't believe that any form of formaldehyde releases in the process of manufacturing or as a byproduct should ever be used in skincare product, regardless of, you know, the dose make the poison. I also think that that's a very broad sweeping, you know, excuse for putting some ingredients in there, because we don't have the research on a lot of those ingredients either. So I'm always encourage people to err on the side of caution and, again, educate yourself as much as possible.
Yeah, amazing. And I love that you're being so proactive on that front. I was actually I did a little bit of a clean out. I get sent a lot of products to try and trial, and I had a large parcel received the other day, and by the time I just got the bottles out of the box and then the packaging and then the box that the bottle was in, you know, and it was just bananas. There was so much, and I thought, if this is just one person, you know, and I get sent maybe one or two packages a week, imagine all of the byproduct. And I found that as well when I was working for a day spa, clients would come back and they would say, actually, can I give you this entire box? I don't want it. I just want the product. So I love that you guys are being so proactive in that. And something else that you have been quite proactive in servicing the industry is that in Mulaney in Queensland, at your head office, you've actually created beauty rooms for clients to be serviced in. So this is very unique in our industry. I can't think of another formulator's HQ where you've got beauty rooms. Why did you do that?
So we have, it's a good question. I mean, Mulaney's a bit of a destination place to go to. So it's only an hour and 15 minutes from Brisbane, and it's just up the hill from the Sunshine Coast. So we found that people were coming in and they were wanting to have consultations. And my mother was actually working in the business at the time, and she was doing consultations, and then she'd do free facials, and she probably was giving away a lot of product too, just on the side. So she sort of started it, and then we realised that more and more people were coming into the business and wanted that service. So around the time, last year was a massive year, because we ended up creating the beauty rooms, and then we rebranded, and then I also launched the book, and it was sort of madness. I think I'm still recovering from everything that happened. But we created these beauty rooms at the front of the business, because we had quite a large space out there that was more of a showroom, and we'd use it for education and training. And my general manager, bless his heart and soul, spent the weekends creating these beauty rooms. And when I went back up for a visit, he'd created a spa at the front. And was a beautiful surprise. So now we've got customized rooms there where people can come and have a proper service and a treatment and a consultation. So we just thought it was a good adjunct to the business as well, being able to offer that service where people can experience and have a facial.
Yeah, gorgeous. I'm actually in Queensland. I moved up here last November, and I haven't ventured up north much. I keep going down south to Ballina and Byron and things like that, but I think I'm going to have to travel up there, and I'll definitely pop in and visit while I'm there.
You should definitely do that. That'd be lovely. Where are you based? In Brisbane?
I'm just in between. I'm in the Redlands, so in between, Brisbane and Gold Coast.
So we're open on a Saturday, so you can just, it's probably about an hour. An hour and a half. It's a lovely drive up there too. You've got the Glasshouse Mountains, and there's lots of lovely little coffee shops. And I think Country Style just did a little segment on Mulaney recently. I think it's in this month's issue, actually. So it's a lovely little township, beautiful part of the world.
Amazing. And so Mukti has skincare, body care, hair care, and now you've also got your internal support. Well, congratulations, because it's literally just been released. So that is so exciting. And I'm wondering if you can explore for us what the driver was for releasing that internal range.
Yeah, so it's been an interesting one, because It's a collagen product, so it's derived from marine collagen. And I did a lot of research prior to launching this because we are technically a vegan range. All the skincare products will remain so, cruelty-free, vegan, etc. But when it came to supporting skin health and replacing lost and replenishing lost collagen in the body, the only way that you can actually do that is from an animal source. So we looked at the most sustainable way that we could do that, and I chose marine collagen. This particular collagen is evidence-based. There's a lot of research behind it. And then I put in a whole lot of other skin-supporting ingredients and also other ingredients that assist with the microbiota and the gut health because, as we all know now, there's a very strong link between gut health and skin health and also our mental health as well. So it was all about feeding and nurturing the skin from within because we need to start there. We can apply topical products, but if there's something or some imbalance going on internally, then that's going to reflect in our skin health as well. So again, bringing it back to this holistic approach, I put in some amazing ingredients. It was quite a ridiculously expensive formula to make. But I won't sacrifice on ingredients on topical or internal. So I put in hyaluronic and resveratrol and astaxanthin, which is wonderful for helping the skin and supporting the skin. Also helps with UV damage as well and protects the skin internally to externally. Then I put in a lot of berries that have got good historical traditional uses like Schisandra, which has been used in the East for many, many years. And then a combination of berries that have your recommended daily allowance of vitamin C. So again, precursor to creating collagen is obviously your vitamin C. Yeah, so I spent aloe vera as well, which is soothing and calming. It's got Jerusalem artichoke, which is inulin, which is a good prebiotic. Mm. So it was very exciting to create this product. We've launched it in conjunction, and we're about to launch a hyaluronic marine serum in conjunction with that as well. We did a pre-order launch last week, actually it was a week ago today, and within the first we had some website problems because we had such a big response in that first 20 minutes to half an hour. We actually sold 50 of them because we had offered this free hyaluronic serum with them, and then we had a great response, so they're pretty much walking out the door at the moment. I think it's really important to address internal as well as external and take that holistic approach, as I said before.
Yeah, absolutely. And so Mukti is stocked in professional spaces, as you mentioned earlier during the episode, and some of our favourite beauty spaces, like Little Company, who we've had the beautiful Stace, the business owner, on the podcast before, and Soul Spa Botanica. So I'm wondering, what does your professional range look like, and what do you look for in brand partners?
Mm. So we get approached a lot, and we're pretty strategic in how we're going about this. Our product range is not a cheap range to create and to make, so it's always a bit of a challenge just creating those margins as well. I'm interested in spas which have, six or so treatment rooms or several treatment rooms. We feel like we can't really cater for the smaller owner operator. Mm-hmm. Because of the expense and the overheads of the products and creating the products. So we're sort of more interested where they can offer a series of facials or treatments or specific facials or treatments. We have some back bar only products which are just for therapists and practitioners. And we have a full range of all our different treatments and treatment protocols. In saying that, it's not a very huge range. It's not big and convoluted. We've got the hydrating range, we've got the balancing, We've got the all skin types, and then we've got the active beauty range, which is your peptides and your vitamins and your antioxidants. So we can cover off on all those bases. And then we have, as I said before, our salon only products, and I'm building a few more of those into the treatments, and working with different therapists as far as what their requirements and needs are, and niching some of those products so that they are only available in treatments. Mm. Because I think some products shouldn't be home care products.
Yes.
They need to be used and executed with care, and it also gives the therapist a good reason for the client to come back and have that treatment again as well.
Yeah, it's another competitive advantage, isn't it, for them returning and rebooking.
Mm. So we've got some really nice salons that have that are opening up and are fairly new as well. There's one called Earth and Skin in Mudjabar, which is a beautiful place. And then we've got, of course, the Byron at Byron as well. So we're sort of working. We like to be able to work in conjunction with like-minded businesses and clients who are interested in that holistic approach to health and well-being.
Incredible. And my final question for you, Mukti, looking back on the first client you ever treated and who you were as a therapist back then to where you are now, I'm wondering if you could give yourself a piece of advice, what would that be?
Oh, that's a good question.
Lots of advice.
I know. Well, there's so many things. I think it's more, I think it's like if you really believe in something, to pursue that. And the other, and I know this comes up a lot because it's such a true thing, but just listening, whenever I haven't listened to my gut instinct or my gut, it's cost me dearly. So I think just tune into that as much as possible. I think a daily mindfulness practice has helped me with that, because I can tune into where I'm feeling something in my body before I act upon it, and I'll do a sort of I'll do an inquiry, a self-inquiry, before I respond or react. So I think just having that moment or two to really stop and collect your thoughts and think about it, and to see where you're feeling something in your body, is an invaluable tool in business and in life.
Incredible. That's great advice. So I was actually just saying to my husband last night, we were on a big walk. I was saying some of the worst decisions that people can make in their life come from that reactivity. And I guess sometimes we think we have to make a decision and give an answer right now. But if we just say, look, I just need to sleep on it, and you go home, you reevaluate your values. Does it align for me? What does it look like when I sit there and I visualize it and then come back and give an answer? You're so much better off.
Yeah, I think as soon as you start to feel any sensation in your body in relation to what you're thinking, and if you can tune into that and ask yourself those questions, why am I feeling like this? You know, is it anxiety? Is it tension? And where am I feeling it? You can make a lot better decisions, which can affect you in a micro basis and also in a macro basis when it comes to business and life.
Incredible. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been an absolute treat being able to spend the morning with you and have a chat and learn about yourself and the brand. And you're doing so many incredible things. I can't wait to hear what is on the horizon for Mukti in the future.
Thank you so much. It's been great. I've really enjoyed it as well, Tamara. And I hope that we can get to meet soon in person.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love that.
All right. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
What a beautiful soul. The fact that Mukti is supporting the professional beauty industry with their clinic exclusive range and paving the way forward for eco-friendly resources with their ethical values behind them is just divine. From having a range being sold at the markets in Queensland to being internationally recognised, everybody can learn something from Mukti's advice and generous time spent with us this morning. I too would like to add my thanks to you for your generous time this morning and tuning into the conversation, and truly appreciate your support for the Beauté Industry podcast and everything that we do. To continue that support, make sure you subscribe through your podcast app, write a review if you so wish, and rate us while you're there. And that helps this conversation reach more industry people. You can find more about Mukti on social media at Mukti Organics and at By Mukti, or us at Beauté Industry and myself at Tamara Shaw Reid. Until next time, stay connected.